Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, July 2nd, the year of our Lord, 2023. And this is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. And it is 4th of July weekend. We are on the eve of our celebration of our nation's independence, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and all that that means in way of memory and history and celebration and tradition. However it is you're celebrating this year, I pray you are well, and that that this podcast can be part of that celebration. And we celebrate here always first begin by celebrating life itself, by taking in the breath of life, to take it in and to let it out, and to know that every time we do that, that's a gift. It's a moment provided to us by our good God. And so as we breathe in and as we breathe out, let us call to mind those things that are good, those things for which we are most thankful, the people and the places, the situations, the opportunities, the things hoped for. We thank God for all of these things. In this mind and in this posture, we begin together in worship. Please join with me in the call to worship as printed in the bulletin. You can find today's bulletin just below the line where you found today's podcast. I think it says sermon notes on it now. You can see. You'll see it. Just click on that and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Happy are we who hear the joyful call to worship, for we walk in the light of God's presence. Let's worship God together, celebrating who He is and all He has done. For God is our strength and our protection, the one in whom we trust. Amen. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Please join with me in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of this day and for the gift of your word alive and among us. Enlighten us, O God. Bless us with your wisdom and your truth. Help us to hear what it is you are saying to us on this day, in this time, and in this place. We pray that you would save us, O God, from distraction and misinterpretation, and that we would hear your word and your word alone. We ask this in Jesus' name and say, Amen. July, the year of our Lord, 2023. It's July. It's Independence Day weekend. Here in Pensacola Beach, it's hot and it's crowded. The beaches are crowded. The streets are crowded. The grocery stores, crowded. The bars and the restaurants are jammed up. And so that's why I'm in the sanctuary at Pensacola Beach Community Church, where it's quiet. I have a sea of empty pews in front of me. But we are here together on this Independence Day weekend. And we have the opportunity to once again consider Jesus' teaching here in the 10th chapter of Matthew. So what about what he has to say in this very short reading today about being welcomed in the name of a prophet, the name of a righteous person, the name of a disciple? How does that relate to what else he's said in this 10th chapter? And how might it relate in some ways to this national feast day on July 4th? I think there are some connections. To review, in the 10th chapter of Matthew, we learn that Jesus has gathered the disciples, the 12. He summoned his 12 disciples, gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease, every sickness. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to your people, your tribe. The first hearing of this thing will be to those for whom this is a fulfillment of their ancient story. Messiah has come. The kingdom of the heavens is drawn near. And then cure the sick. Here's a good one. Raise the dead. Cure the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. You 12, go out and do those things that only God can do. Go work miracles among your people. Go do what I do. And he tells them, you go out, and you're going to go out vulnerable. You're not going to carry too much stuff with you. You won't have a change of clothes. You won't have a bunch of money in your belt. You're going to be dependent on the people that you encounter, and they will be dependent on you. And this will be a ministry of mutual blessing. Some folks aren't going to get it. And when you're rejected, when they don't want to hear what you have to say, they don't want to receive your blessing, move on. Take it back, move to the next place. Because the gospel will grow where it's welcomed. Makes sense so far. But remember, he's, sending them out to be like him. And if they, for a minute, think about the times when he's come into town and done his thing, his preaching and teaching and healing, individuals that have been touched and healed, the fevers are drawn out, the demons are cast away, someone is brought back to life. Usually within that household and within that family or small community, it's joy. And yet there are often those just on the outside of that circle that they find cause to criticize, to reject, and in some cases, they try to take his life. That's what it means to come in the name of a prophet. That's what it means sometimes to come in the name of a righteous person. Some people will not want the blessing that you have to offer. They won't want to hear the truth that you're telling, because it means they'll have to think about the way they've lived their lives. They'll have to rethink the things they've understood to be true. It's a revolution. He sends them out, and he names them. I think this is important given the theme of today's sermon. And these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. They all have names. Names that we grew up with. Back in my day, I had friends in my class that were named James. I didn't have any friends named Zebedee or Simon. But they're names, and they are named men who go out in the name of Jesus. And they can go out in the names of prophets. What is it to go out in the name of? I think to go out as a representative of the teaching, in the way of, emulating the life of. What might it mean to go out in the name of Moses? To go out in a spirit of liberation? To go out as one who has walked and talked with God and seeks to share what he's learned with the people so that they might be led to a better place? Maybe. What is it to go out in the name of a righteous person, in the name of the saints named and unnamed, some of them named here at the opening of the 10th chapter? What might it mean to go out in the name of St. Francis? Go out in the name of the church? To go out. There's this relationship that gets back to what Jesus sent them to do, this sense of mutual need and mutual hospitality. We're better together. So as I stand at your door and I introduce myself, hello, my name is James, and I come in the name of Jesus. What do you want, James? Well, I come with instructions. I come to preach the good news. The kingdom of heaven is drawn near. And I've been given a special gift. Is anyone sick here? Have you lost someone recently? Oh, as recently as today, maybe? Are any of you, or you in your clan, do they suffer with leprosy? Or do they seem to not be in their right mind? I've been given a gift. That might be rejected. You might be rejected as a charlatan, when the person might just believe that you have been sent by God. And maybe it's not as massive and deep and heavy as the kind of healing and anointing that God's given these original 12. Maybe it's to come and offer the blessing of time and presence of a particular skill that you have. Right? We send people out on mission trips all the time, missions of mercy. That evangelization often begins with taking care of the physical and spiritual needs of a community before you can try to unpack the story of Jesus. The folks that crafted this founding document, this first volley in the march towards independence. They had come to the conclusion that there was a better way. There was a more just way. There was a way for them to keep more of what they had produced. There was a way for them to follow their understanding of God in ways that were authentic to them as individuals. And it required them to be cut off from the old way. And just like Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword, that you're going to have to make a decision, so too would it have been for those who had family back in the homeland that they were now declaring their independence from. There is just so much that's present here in Matthew's gospel when we consider what it means to be called and to be sent and to go out in the name of, in the way of Jesus, to go out and try to be like him in thought, word, and deed, and to offer a blessing and to take the risk, knowing that it will be accepted in some places and rejected in others. But it's in the going. It's in the giving and in the receiving that this rich blessing takes root and begins to grow. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. A cup of cold water. Sometimes preaching the gospel, proclaiming the coming of the kingdom of heaven, can be as simple as the extension of a cup of cold water, can be as simple as the reception of a cup of cold water. Think about these first disciples. Think about our founding fathers, sons and daughters. There was a brilliant truth that captured their hearts, and they took action on it, and they went out into the world with it, and they changed the world forever. And certainly in the case of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's profoundly good news. And in the best of the American idea, the American experiment in freedom, there is lots of good news there too. To which I say, amen. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Joseph, and Moses, and Aaron, God of Samuel and David, God of Esther, and Naomi and Ruth, and Mary and Elizabeth, God of the apostles, God of the unnamed faithful, we call out to you and we pray. We confess that so often we walk in the wrong direction. We find that we can't sing in harmony with the song that you are singing. Sometimes our ways are selfish and fearful. But we ask, O God, for your continued grace and forgiveness. We give you thanks for it. this amazing grace that you offer us. We thank you for every good and perfect gift. We thank you for the people in our lives that we love. We thank you for the gift of life itself, for every breath. We thank you for the opportunities that we've had. We thank you, O God, for the gift of being citizens of this good country, flawed as we might be. We pray, O God, that as each and every one of us are able, that we would participate in the best of what it means to be a citizen of these United States. And we ask, God, your continued presence, as clearly we need your help. Bless those in the corridors of power, the people of Wall Street, the people of Capitol Hill. Heal them of their arrogance and their hubris. Relieve them of their lust for power and control. Anoint them, O God. Convict them of your grace and peace. Cast out those things in them that are unclean. And then there are the things of our everyday lives, O God. The joys and the concerns. We thank you for the best of the things in our lives. We celebrate those things. And yet there are things, some of them very frightening, troublesome, O God. And we take a moment, a quiet moment, to be honest with you and to share these things with you, knowing that when we come to you, you take every word of it into your heart. And we pray for peace. God of peace, we pray, meet us in this quiet space. We break our silence. And we give you thanks for the gifts of peace and quiet. We thank you, O God, for apostles and disciples, named and unnamed. They've preserved for us our stories. They've preserved for us a prayer that goes by your name. Help us to join in this chorus of prayer that transcends time and space, generation upon generation. Hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. My friends, as we move on from this moment together, I pray that we will do so in the name of a prophet, that we will do so in the name of a righteous person. We will do so in the name of a disciple. That we will move on from this moment in the name of Christ, the gift of God, our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.